brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Hey man, got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to the Smokes episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. We are the best thing on at 2 a.m., just before a little old lady's knitting, and right after the show. Does this look
Knit
infected?
One, pearl, two. Hang on, let me put my T's in it.
All right, with us today is good old boy Mike.
Hey there.
Good old boy Justin.
Good morning.
And good old boy Nate.
What's up?
And myself, good old boy Burger. How you doing, folks?
Great. How are you?
Yeah, man. I'm good. It's been a good week. Been a trying week, but it's been good. Yeah, this is our smoke segments. We are all about cigars and, well, anything that's smoked. Almost anything. Here's what we're going to discuss today. Today, we're going to discuss Caldwell cigars.
That sounds interesting.
I got a little bit of backstory here from Caldwell.
Are you going to use your favorite Dominican Republic accent?
Not today.
Oh, senor, I'm so disappointed.
My wife will be very mad.
So not even close, yeah, right? I mean, it's I mean, Justin, seriously, it sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger crossed the Mexican border.
Hear me now and believe me later.
Yeah. So Caldwell was started in 2013 by a group of friends who set out to do everything differently. And they have grown into a recognized brand now. And our initial reception came with much confusion. People didn't understand their brand's packaging and their brand and the purpose. So this is when they knew that they were going to do a good job. And they say, if you're not running with us, run from us.
Well, I mean, how fast should you run? I mean, like slow or a casual walk or, you know, it depends on the accent
that you're using. I guess.
Ay, chihuahua, you know?
So a little history from them. Caldwell Cigar is the brainchild of Robert Caldwell. Prior to Caldwell Cigars, Robert founded Wynwood Cigar Factory in Miami, Florida. He's also owned and operated a hotel humidor company, a hospitality synergetic cigar company.
Well, in Hotel Humidor, so he actually pretty much every country in out there where there's high-end resorts and high-end hotels and they have humidors, Robert is the one, and he sells like other brands. They stock it with other brands, but he has actually been able to get cigars into all of these high-end hotels. He's got ones in Dubai, all over.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So they sent me a little blurb about the community and their mission I want to share with you guys. So from the beginning, Caldwell has sought to do good through varieties of initiatives. We've also sponsored art initiatives as well as charitable projects.
Are we doing good worse while we're running, man?
Yes. through Lost and Found Cigars. We are in the process of building a foundation and developing events to incorporate consumers and retailers in those initiatives that are important to us, such as beach cleanups, homeless hunger outreaches, and inner-city education missions. Their mission, they're a company run by friends for friends. So if you have friends, smoke something with them. Said, we've never cared about being a huge company. We just set out to make great cigars and exceptional packaging. And we enjoy what we do and those who share our interests. And they say, do things well, do good, have fun. It's that simple. Yeah.
That works well for a lot of things in life, not just cigars.
I know it. But, you know, I really enjoyed this lineup. I've smoked quite a few Caldwells in the past, and, you know, just I'm a sucker for branding, and they've got some really cool labels, and they got some really cool marketing that they've got going on, but the quality matches the marketing, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah, that's a pretty rare feat.
I know it. So today, good old boy Mike's going to go over our smokes ratings with us. So lay it on us, big guy.
Well, I'm going to be using my worst Mexican accent, Espanol for say, since we're already talking about the Dominican Republic. So we have three smokes ring. Here they are. Number one. Oh, I like this
number one.
Number uno, yes. This sucked even before it was lit. Number due or dos. It depends on when you're in Italy or Mexico.
See?
So, do you really have to light this three times? And tres. So, this is very nice. Now just go away so I can enjoy it. That's you, Barger. Go away.
I am going.
You go away so I can enjoy this. I don't need to light it another time.
So, over our first cigars, they sent us four cigars, and I was really thankful. So thank you, Caldwell, for sending us these cigars to review for you guys. And as always, we're going to be honest, and if we like it, we like it. If we don't, we don't. So over our
banned
first...
once again.
That's right. The first cigar in the lineup is their Eastern Standard, which I believe was their first staple.
Yeah.
And Nate's going to give us the rundown.
So, Eastern Standard is a mild, smooth, and creamy, yet incredibly rich cigar. It packs more flavor than almost any full-bodied cigar out there. It doesn't matter if you like mild, medium, or full-bodied. You're going to love this stick. This is the one to smoke to remind yourself why you smoke. And so, we smoked a Churchill, a 48x7 girth.
Girth.
I said that wrong.
Of course, you know, it's all about girth, as I'm looking for how to. Here we go.
Today we're going to be demonstrating how to measure girth. Girth is a very important measurement when determining sizes. First, take your tape measure, place it at the center of the shoulder, bring it down through the crotch,
slowly,
and back up again, making sure it's going over the widest part.
Which part is the wide part?
So we have a wrapper. The wrapper is the Aracon hybrid grown in Ecuador. The binder is Indonesian and the filler is Dominican Republic and Nicaraguan.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't the beginnings of Caldwell all Dominican?
Predominantly. Most all their fillers were grown in Dominican. Most all their stuff is all with that Dominican feel.
And I think that's, you know, part of the storyline that I really love about Caldwell is that they're very country, you know, concentric.
Yeah.
They're just not a manufacturer. And, you know, several other both brands as well as manufacturers, you know, they're really concentrated on pumping out, you know,
their brands.
And whether they're using locally grown, you know, leaf or filler or, you know, importing stuff around, they don't really don't have any rhyme or reason to it. And I think that Caldwell has really stayed very true to their origins, you know, where they started. I think their connection with their staff and with their community is an important part of, you know, the Caldwell story.
Yeah.
Well, and I think part of that, even earlier, Mike was asking about their Nicaraguan stuff. And so even with that, they've done some projects where they have partnered with AJ Fernandez, and they strictly always say that that is a partnership. They don't even really label it as
to
like,
say it's ours.
Yeah. They kind of always differentiate the two.
And I love that transparency, you know, so even though they are staying very true to, you know, their origins, I like the fact that when they step, I don't want to say they step outside of their you know, their iconic, you know, their branding or their identity.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're just simply, you know, owning up to saying, you know, the cigar world is really big. It can't just be, you know, DR only.
I like what they do. And I think they've had a couple boxes that are like collaboratives.
Yeah, yeah.
And like they'll say the word collaborate on the box. And so like for me, you know, being an artist before, like that's an artist term that people use to say, hey, we work together on this piece of artwork, and this piece of artwork is not just me, even though I'm the one putting it out here. It's not just me. Thank these people too, you know? And I think that's really cool that they do that.
Yeah, I agree.
So what is everybody's take on the Eastern Standard?
Well, here are some of my notes here. You know, I wrote the head of the wrapper, you know, peeled right off after cutting the cap. So that wasn't particularly good.
Well, did you cut it an inch up?
No. So I wrote that it was spicy up front, you know, kind of woody in the middle. I would not enjoy coming back to this cigar.
No? So,
yeah.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Because I didn't mind it. I thought it was a...
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, no,
I've
smoked a few of them before, and I rather enjoyed them. It's like one of those cigars that it's not a fantastic cigar, and it's not a horrible cigar. So I'm in a humidor somewhere trying to pick something out, and I see that. I know that band. I know that it's like a safe place to go. You know what I mean? And so I'll pick one up if I can't decide on what I want to smoke and smoke that, you know?
Yeah, for me, I mean, I've smoked this cigar for years. And for me, the big thing with this, though, is even with this specific size, I personally like this cigar. And they make a little 4x44 called the Manzanita.
Yeah.
That to me, like with a cup of coffee, that you get that spice, that richness. So even in this cigar, they have multiple different sizes. And that Churchill was definitely not my favorite of the sizes that they make for this cigar.
Yeah, yeah, that smaller one does have a lot better flavor profile, I think. But that same can be said for a lot of cigars that have multiple sizes.
Hmm. Hey, Justin, real quick, what did you think?
I thought it had a really nice draw, had a good moist feel in my hand.
Moist.
It was a balanced, neutral smoke. Most flavor for me was in the last third. It never went out when I was smoking it. I thought it was pleasant.
So we're going to give our smokes rating right now. Hold them up. Yeah. So I guess we're going to give it a smokes rating of 2 today.
Hey, we'll be back.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
All right, we're back. And the next staple in their line is Long Live the King. And our co-host, good old boy Justin, will be going over that for us today. So, Justin, take it away.
So, Long Live the King is a spicy, pepper-loaded start. Gives way to a full, rich, balanced, blended smoke. Long Live the King is definitely full in body, but it is so harmonious that you won't notice someone stealing your car. This smoke,
come back with my
is
car.
A smoke you smoke with your headphones on and your middle finger at full salute, while slamming a Jack Barrel proof. It's a Lancero, 40 girth by 7. The wrapper's Corojo from the Dominican Republic, and the binder's also Corojo. And the filler is Dominican, Nicaraguan, and Peruvian. So this smoke, I really enjoyed a lot.
Okay. All right. I enjoyed it as well.
I liked it a lot. And I think also one thing to note about Caldwell as we talk about the art is we haven't talked about the bands, and specifically the band of the Long Live the King has a kid wearing a crown, which we used to joke in my retail store about it looking like Joffrey from Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's very true.
Wasn't,
I like that.
But funny story, when they first came out with that cigar, they actually had a few retailers who wouldn't carry it because they felt because it was promoting children smoking. But in the true Caldwell fashion, they left it as it was.
Yeah. As it should. I got some good notes for this one. I was like, it's so much way better, like, flavor in that than the Eastern Standard. I said, I could smoke this one every day. It's earthy, woody, peppery, just white pepper, spice forward. Just a really good blend of all things Dominican in it.
Yeah, my own notes here. The first thing I wrote down was really big flavor.
Yeah.
This was just a very... I don't know if I would say so much full-bodied as it just, there was a lot going on there. I mean, almost to the point that I couldn't really even pick out a lot of distinguishing components. The San Andreas, it's a Mexican rapper. I always say it wrong.
Yeah.
Was definitely the star of the show. That really, I thought, was what, you know, complemented, you know, this stick, you know, quite a bit. Great construction. Around this, I really love this cigar. It would definitely be something I would go back to in this product line. It was, I don't know that it was my favorite of the whole product line of the flight, but it was definitely up there for sure.
The flavor was really consistent on it.
Oh, so there's it was a Corojo wrapper, not
I think you might be talking about the Mofo.
Yes, yeah, so I am talking about.
Yeah, the Mad Mofo is the okay. San
Andreas. That's the San Andreas wrapper.
All right. So I wrote down my notes wrong. One of the cigars, I really liked it.
Yeah, that's the Mad Mofo.
That's
That thing is fantastic. I think that's not one of the ones we're going over today, but that's one of the ones they provided with us.
Ah.
And yeah, we should be going over that. If we got time at the end, we're going to talk about that one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So yeah, Long Live the King was really good. I really like for me, the Lancero style is my favorite style. And it's just, I can't get enough of them. And I would pick the Lanceros over Churchills, Rothschilds, Toros, Robustos, any of them. I'll always pick Lanceros.
All right. So can I revise and amend my statement then?
Yeah, please.
So I do have I wrote down Long Live the Queen's Lancero. So it's the Long Live the King Lancero. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So I wrote, it was very mild, a slower draw, and, you know, kind of similar experience to... Long Live the Queen. So,
which that's our next cigar.
Yes. All right. So I'm there now.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So it was. I mean,
are you lost? I'm lost.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mike's got a paddle but no boat. We all see this. So let's go ahead and give our ratings of it. What do we got here?
Oh well,
it's a tie.
It's a tie.
But
we'll give it a 3.
We'll give it a 3. Again, you don't have to take our word for it. Go smoke them for yourself, folks. That's what we like. If you hear us talking about some cigars here and you're like, well, these guys just sound like idiots. Well, that's probably because we are sometimes.
Well, you know, that's...
Bloody favoritism!
Yeah. But, you know, we definitely enjoy hearing from you guys, too. If you like them, let us know. You know, we find enjoyment in these all things conversationally with cigars, so... Our next up is myself, so I'm going to be going over the Long Live the Queen, which, from my knowledge, this is a very limited run cigar that they've been producing lately, that only has X amount of boxes, and they go all over the country with them. So Long Live the Queen, we actually smoked two different sizes of it. We had a Toro size, but the size that we smoked was the Lancero, the 48x7. All right, so Long Live the Queen was an elusive cigar to find. They're very small quantities, so if you find them in the wild, I would suggest buying a couple and thanking me later. So it's made in the Dominican Republic. The Long Live the Queen is rolled in the El Maestro factory, a smaller factory owned by William Ventura. It's a four-country blend consisting of a reddish-brown Cameroon leaf, a Sumatra binder grown in Indonesia, and a mix of Dominican and Nicaraguan fillers. The size, the girth, is 48x7. And the binder, we established as a Sumatra. and the filler. Where is it at? It's a Dominican and Nicaraguan. Yep, and the wrapper is a Cameroon. So they didn't really give me a lot of information on this cigar because it's kind of proprietary.
Well, so let's talk.
I think it sucks.
So let's talk real fast about Cameroon. For those who don't know, Cameroon is actually a leaf grown in Africa, in the country of Cameroon. Mm-hmm. For it to be considered true Cameroon, it has to have been grown there. And truly, there's really one family who is growing most of it. The tobacco is grown in the middle of the rainforest.
Yeah.
So it gets a really unique kind of reddish hue to it. There's a lot of people. So technically, Cameroon is just Sumatra seeds grown in Africa. So it's really the country it's grown in that makes it what it is. Yeah. There's a big debate because several people are taking Sumatra seeds, growing them in their country, and then calling it Cameroon because they're doing different processes to mimic that Cameroon leaf. I believe that this was a true African Cameroon. It had the color, it had the flavor. Yeah. To me. I love Cameroons. Cameroons are not for everyone.
Mm-hmm. They've got that spice to them.
Spice, but and I think of it like how I think of Kenyan coffees, very dirty, kind of earthy, like there's a spice, but also there's this like, there's something nasty about it in a good way. Dysentery. And I like it. Yeah.
That's what it is. I'm kidding. But no, it's, they definitely are distinct in the flavor of the actual Cameroonians. And you could tell when you've got a labeled Cameroonian that's not as well. Like, at least I can. So what did we think about this, Mike? What did you think about this one?
So, I wrote down the word crispy.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, that this was being stored so well. You know, like the cap took a layer of, you know, off the foot itself. You know, that's how crispy it was.
Crispy.
Super mild up front. Good draw. Good quality and construction. Other than it just being crispy. It was still mild even about halfway through.
Yeah.
So this was, you know, probably one of the better cigars, I thought, you know, in the product line as well.
Yeah, I was enjoying it, smoking it so much that I didn't even write notes. All I wrote was awesome smoke, great flavor, and great quality built. Huh. And that's something that I've noticed in all of these Caldwells that I've smoked was I didn't have to work at it. Justin had a little bit of a different time with his, but I didn't have to work at mine, and you know, they stayed consistent. The burn, the draw, and what I really liked is, you know, we talked about the Long Live the King a second ago. That flavor in that cigar was consistent all the way to the nub, and it was like, wow, I have not, very few cigars have I had that have stayed consistent with the flavor. You know, you get that heat spot in the middle or you get down to the nub and the flavor changes on a cigar.
Yep.
But I did not have that problem with these. Justin, what are your thoughts?
I like the construction of this cigar. And I got really big smoke off it. You know, big puffs.
Uh-huh.
And long ash, which for me is an indicator of really good filler distribution in the stick. It didn't go out for me until the last third. And then it kind of rebelled on the relight, but I thought it had a nice flavor all throughout, like you guys did.
Yeah, Nate?
Yeah, same. I enjoyed it. I really liked the flavor. It burned great for me. And I also, and even you were saying that it was rolled in that factory. That's the first cigar I've had from that factory. They actually, their factory burned down last year. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Oh, wow.
But there was a fire. And so the original, they are partners in that factory with William Ventura, and his dad owns the El Maestro factory. So that's the first cigar they've had rolled there. That's new, that's come out, and it really impressed me. The construction impressed me. They are working on rebuilding. I think they're pretty close to,
I was gonna say, are they back up and operating?
Yeah, pretty close. And they had a good amount of stock in their Miami warehouse too, so I know it kept them going.
Yeah, I was wondering, that was my next question. So where were they storing everything? Was it on site?
Yeah, they have a distribution in Miami, so thankfully they had actually, I think, just gotten a shipment, I had heard, like 2 weeks prior, so they had gotten some stuff, so they were pretty well stocked. But yeah, so
I think that is a fairly common industry, you know, operational thing that they do now, because there were so many factories that did catch fire.
Yeah.
back in the 40s is what I have some vague recollection that, you know, people were losing like, you know, entire pallets of, you know, wrapper leaf that they had been aging out for a long time. And it took them, you know, literally, you know, like 2 years to recover because they had lost so much aged wrapper. Yeah. And so that diversity of, you know, storing things in different locations, they deal with, you know, disaster recovery just simply by, you know, staging their products in different locations. That's still got to be, you know, I didn't realize they were, you know, doing it out of country, you know.
Well, and honestly, though, most of the companies that are sold here have some sort of distribution based in Miami or wherever, where they at least just have a it's not, you know, it's just a warehouse they're shipping out of, but it makes it easier for customs.
Yeah, I know some other brands that they partner, not maybe not Caldwell, but other brands will partner with big boxes like, you know, CI or Thompson, and they'll keep them in their facilities.
After they're rolled.
Yeah, after they're rolled. Yeah. The box cigars, correct, they'll keep
age them, you know, at in some of those large, you know, online retailers. Yeah, I've heard that as well.
Yeah, that's why those large online retailers get a discount on their cigars, and you can buy them cheaper on, you know, some places. But support your local brick and mortar.
Well, we should go ahead.
Yeah, let's give it the rating, guys.
So for Long Live the Queen?
Yeah, it's unanimous.
Yeah, how about that?
Three. I think that's the first time we've had unanimity here.
I think so, at least for today, for this show.
Yeah. Last up is good old boy Mike. He's going to be going over the Girls, Guns, and Gold. Take it away, Mike.
Let's see here. Girls. Oh, yeah, here we go. Girl. He wrote it down. Girl, not girls. It's Girls, Guns,
I'm just trying
and
to trip
gold.
You up there.
Yeah, of course. You know, that doesn't take a whole lot. This Lancero is packed with secrets, like the kind you need to always keep to yourself, unless you're on Vice Blurred out with one of those kick-ass voice mods on. Okay, all right. Whilst the origins and other...
You know, when they're on the show and it's like, I was a mafia member and I... You know, did these things.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
You can't see them, you know?
I didn't get it, and I still barely get it. So, whilst the origins and other components remain a secret, the cigar is packed with smooth, creamy flavor, a subtle spice that does not disappoint for a delightfully complex and nuanced smoking experience. Let's see. The size of this is a 38 girth by 725. Inches of love. Really? You had to... Okay. Its wrapper is puppy fur. The binder are tears from mermaids. I can't believe I'm reading this. And the filler is chocolate made with naked virgins.
This is one of those cigars that they didn't give me much info on.
It's hard to source those.
Yeah, it's super hard to source those.
I'm sorry.
No, I was like, wow, that's intense.
I can't believe I read that wrong. Really?
Yeah.
So, I'll start off with some of my own notes here. So mild, a much bigger draw, kind of a touch of spice, you know, in this filler. That spice thing kind of kept hanging around, you know. A lot of times, you know, you'll certainly encounter a lot of spice in the first third of a lot of cigars. But this just, you know, stayed there and just did not go away. Even a bit more pepper and abrasive at the midpoint. So probably not my favorite stick, you know, in this lineup.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Justin, how about you?
I got a big Barks French Vanilla Cream vibe off this one.
Really?
Flavor is really good. It was nice and light in my hand. I think I would like do this a good pre-dinner smoke.
Yeah, or one with some coffee, maybe.
I don't even know if it needs a coffee. I had it with a Diet Dr. Pepper. It worked for me.
Well, Nate, how about you?
Yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I mean, to me, this cigar is, I like that balance of creaminess and spice that a lot of people are doing, and especially in the Lancero. For me, I was getting a lot more of the cream notes to it off that wrapper leaf. But I really enjoyed this all the way through.
Yeah, I had my notes are great off the light, peppery and earthy. It was like halfway in, it was really consistent, and the burn stayed really consistent. And then, you know, again, it stayed consistent to the end. And really that does it for me with you know, Caldwell. I think that those didn't have a bad one, and it's in my opinion, I liked it. I liked it a lot. So what are you guys putting it as?
Wow. All right.
Well, we're gonna give it a smokes rating of 2. They didn't really give me much information on the girls and guns. That's why I threw you a curveball with the...
They undisclosed all that one.
Yeah, the binder filler wrapper. That's the one that's like, hush, hush. We don't tell what it is.
Ah, I see. I'm definitely, dead last to step in to understand, you know, their marketing prowess. Well, and, you know, I thought that this, you know, this last stick was, I don't know, it just seemed to kind of step out of the product line. It was just one of those things where which one of these things is not like the other,
sure.
Or it's just not.
Yeah.
Even when I was having it, I was like, is this really a DR stick? Because it sure doesn't feel like it.
But, I think some context to it too is that truly was a one-off limited that they did. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, for me, like even with Caldwell, they have like their core line staples, but they're known to put out certain limiteds or certain things that are curveballs or, and even like, even Lost and Found. So I know you kind of touched upon that for a second, which I think they're changing the way they do this because they've said all that's was lost is now found, but they had a really cool program for many years where basically they would go around to different factories. And in these factories, you have the way it works is, you know, if you have a cigar that you're going to put to production, you know, they'll make 2,000 sticks or whatever, and then something will happen and the whole thing will get scrapped. And so some of these factories just have, you know, tons of tobacco
just from
sitting. And so Lost and Found, they basically buy this stuff from people not knowing what it is, essentially brand it, throw it on there. Yeah. And that was a lot of their, where they were talking about a lot of where their proceeds go to things. But you know, I had some cigars in that batch that were 8 years old, and I know that they were probably bought from the Davidoff factory. And I mean, some cool stuff, you know. And
I like the Lost and Found series. I thought those are really good. I don't know if you guys have smoked any of those before.
Yeah.
But they're really like, really streamlined decorated boxes, nothing major flashy. It's just kind of just chill, and they're really great cigars. So we're gonna you guys want to talk about the mofo
maybe after the break?
Maybe we got a break coming up here.
You know, in a more extended conversation, you know, about Caldwell,
absolutely,
we'll have plenty of time to, you know, talk about, you know, I think just our experience with the whole product line.
It was a good product line, but here's a word from the sponsor. It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation, riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. And we're back. We're going to talk a little bit more about Caldwell Cigars. They sent us a fifth in the line, and it's called the Mofo.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we all had a pretty good experience with that. So, Mike, why don't you tell us what your thoughts were?
Because I already did. Well, you know, so this was it's interesting that I just happened to smoke it in the last line, you know.
Yeah.
So, and that was just by happenstance. So, it was the very last cigar that I did smoke in the product line. And so I'll reiterate my notes on this. So really big flavor. And like I mentioned, the San Andreas wrapper was definitely the star of the stick for sure. It was one of those things where sometimes you're sitting down with a cigar and you're, it's very complex, but it's not full. And I think the difference between those things for me is usually it's the amount of sugar content or how sweet something came across, because sugars really hang very heavy on the palate and they tend to, you know, influence and feel heavier. You know, this didn't have that. It wasn't a sweet thing. It just had a lot of complex flavor around it. And I enjoy that, you know, in a lot of things. I enjoyed in wines, I enjoyed in, you know, spirits and whiskeys and gin and a lot of other things where things are so complex that you just can't sit down and go, well, that's cedar, or that is, you know, hickory, or, you know, I'm getting a touch of mint or something like that. And so I really, I found myself smoking the entire stick. And I was actually rushed for time.
You don't say.
Yes, I was. And so I actually was really glad that that was the last stick that I had sitting down in that flight to go through, and actually enjoyed the entire thing. So it just was really great construction, great burn line the whole time. I found myself, you know, setting it down, you know, having a casual drink of, you know, one or two things, you know, thinking about pairing opportunities with it.
Yeah.
There was just a lot going on, you know, for that. And I was really glad, you know, to have that stick in the lineup.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure.
My dead favorite, you know, in the entire product line, for sure.
So that's the Long Live the King Mad Mofo.
Yep.
And when we get to
Nate. I love the smell on the foot on that one.
Oh, yeah. That has a great, great smell in it. Even unlit, just it's a spicy flavor smell. But that's a San Andreas wrapper and a Dominican and Nicaraguan filler, and it doesn't tell me what the binder is. So I would assume it's a Dominican binder.
Mystery binder.
Yeah, so why don't you, Justin, tell us what you thought about it.
I think this is like a really good lunch break stick. Had really consistent flavor. This stick never went out when I was smoking it, and I smoked it to the nub. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a 5x50, I think, is what we got. Is that right?
Sounds right, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a Lancero, which I was disappointed. I think in a Lancero, this thing would be awesome.
I agree. I found myself wanting, you know, more. Just like a little more.
Uh-huh.
I just smoked this for another 15 minutes, I'd be a lot better
My
off.
Favorite size, they make it in a Bellicosa, and that's my favorite size.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Nate, what did you think about it?
I really enjoyed it. I found it's an Indonesian binder.
Oh, it's okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I love this cigar. I get notes of, you know, like you said, big, bold flavors, but I also get kind of chocolatey richness with a spice. And to me, I love that cigar for an after dinner, kind of just sitting after on the anything. Back porch. Yeah.
Dude, I would smoke that cigar every day. I think I could safely say that I could smoke that cigar every day.
Yeah.
I will be buying a box.
Yeah, so I kind of hinted I was actually thinking about pairings, you know, as I was enjoying this particular cigar, and you know, I found myself really moving between a lot of rich and decadent desserts, almost like a, you know, chocolate ganache or even a really dense, you know, New York style cheesecake.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, something that just would bring and almost coat, you know, your palate with, you know, those very heavy sugars that I mentioned were kind of absent, but in a good way in this experience. I like the idea of having it and after dinner, it'd be go really great, you know, with, an XO cognac. I think it would really go great with a lot of Amaros. Yeah. Even, you know, really sweet Italian, like Fantastasia, you know, Amaro.
Yeah.
Would go really well, you know, with that. So I would definitely say
a good chocolate cannoli.
Yeah.
I had this with a Cadbury Easter egg, and it worked really well.
Ooh, that would be really good. The caramel. Yeah.
So
that's smart.
I guess the interesting theme about all these pairings is that I really think you need something that's kind of jumping on your palate, kind of weighting it down. Sugars tend to do that, you know, quite a bit. And, you know, I can see that that would be the thing that would really, it almost trap all that complexity and, you know, leave it lingering, you know, on your palate a lot longer.
Yeah. Well, that's going to bring us to our next question in this segment of what do we pair?
Well,
but we're going to give it our smokes rating first.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be unanimous. Yeah, it's unanimous. We'll give it a 3. Again, great job, Caldwell, on that cigar.
Yeah.
Great job.
You have our address. Feel free to send 5 boxes.
Yeah. However many you want to send us, just let me know, and we'll open the mail that day. All right. So my next question is, what did you guys pair with those? As we're continuing this discussion, you know, I'm all about the pairings. Mike, you touched really heavily on the pairings with the sweetness and the sugars, but like I could have that, you know, a lot of these Lanceros with a good cup of coffee or a good barrel proof bourbon or rye.
Yeah.
I think the rye notes really pair well with a lot of
I was going to say there is a cigar we didn't smoke in their original lineup called The King Is Dead.
Yeah.
Which that cigar, to me, you get these strong kind of, when you have it with a rye, the caramely notes play together and you get this really like decadent thing.
I've had
it. Love that pairing together between the rye and that Habano.
Yeah. Yeah. The King Is Dead was a really good cigar too. I've had quite a few of them. Justin, what do you like to pair with? What did you pair with this other than Diet Coke?
Well, I like the Highland Park Cask Strength.
Okay.
I had with a couple of these sticks.
Okay.
Good choice.
That's a good choice for Scotch drinkers. I am not one.
I'm a Scotch guy, you know.
I know. I'm not a Scotch guy. Although this Suntory stuff is really kicking it up a notch with me.
Yeah, I think I find, you know, a lot of Japanese whiskeys really just getting mowed down like roadkill, you know, with cigars. They're just so light and flowery and floral.
Man, I love
and
that.
Delicate. And I love that. I love Japanese whiskey. I just don't enjoy it with most cigars. I find they just get mowed down, you know, really fast.
Really?
I think the opposite is true with enjoying, especially with, an Isla, you know, base scotch that, you get smoke on smoke, and you get peat fighting directly with the cigar. With one exception, I think that there are both Connecticut and Connecticut Shade wrappers that I would, you know, go through and, you know, really enjoy, you know, that pairing. And the peat tends to complement it, you know, fairly well when you do things like that. But I think for the most part, you know, you are looking for complementary, flavor pairings and things that are not fighting, you know, with each other.
The caramel is massive. Like that sweetness and creaminess of the caramel, like you're talking about the Cadbury egg, that makes me want to go buy one right now just to smoke with it. No, I'm not going to smoke a Cadbury egg, but, you know, to eat while I smoke a good cigar today, that's a great thing.
I'll confess, I was actually, you know, working two things at once. So I was, you know, going through, you know, this product line. So I was probably tasting through about 50 different, you know, products, both whiskey and gin. I'm sorry, whiskey and rum.
Yeah.
As I was going through these,
rums would be delicious with this.
Yeah. So four I square. Always,
yeah,
I,
good four square.
I do say, you know, if I have to pick a default, you know, pairing for cigars in general, rum I could have all day long. I just
it's the next morning. It's just where it hurts.
So magical, you know. Usually with most rums, and you know, I mean, I know that most of you are thinking about, oh, you know, rums are super sweet, and you know, they're just gonna, you know, obliterate the flavor of whatever you're having. Not true.
Yeah, not true at all.
Yeah, there's a lot of rums where, you know, actually you have to watch the cigar actually still overpowering,
right?
You know,
and especially what types of sugars they use in the rum too will play into that as well.
So I will tell you that when I had this last cigar, the Long Length, the King, a bad mofo, one product that I had was, a bottle that actually is right here within our line of sight, which is from Nashville Barrel Company. That was from a pick called the Ever Cyber Team or Ever Sec. I think it's a group. And that particular barrel was called You Can't Have Cyber Without Spelling Rye, I think is the name of the barrel itself. Really great combination. So the reason why I thought that worked really well, that particular rye was on the scale of being more floral, and light, and it didn't it did not fight with the complexity that was going on with that particular cigar. One of the other pairings that I had with Long Live the Queen, which was one of the cigars that we talked about today. I remember having it was a bourbon, and oddly, it was from Texas.
Oh, like a Balcones or something?
No, it was, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of the distillery that I had it with. But I remember the characteristic that I had with it, and it was a fairly classic, bourbon experience with a sweet finish that came off the back of it. And that really works, quite well with that particular cigar.
Yeah. Yeah. I like to try all kinds of stuff with cigars too. I'm very out there. I'll go through, three to five quarter ounce pours with a cigar and just try to see what really brings out flavor profiles. I land a lot with rye, but also a good sweet bourbon does really play a good favor into them.
And yet every time I sit with you, you go, Mike, have you had coffee, with a cigar? So yeah. I keep listening.
Yeah.
One, I'm just one of these people, I just don't smoke in the morning. And there is no way you're going to convince me that you are going to ruin all of my coffee experience with cigar.
You are. You're going to have to have a cigar. You. I'm telling
well,
you.
Well, so, and for me, I start every day that way.
Yeah. Single origin coffees.
And I work in the cigar world, and I open a retail store. And so for me, I'll get there early and I'll have a cup of coffee and I have a cigar. And to me, there is no better pairing. I would choose that over liquor any day. But there's something about it first thing too that to me it's also filled with nostalgia too.
Yeah, but see, I also do a lot of eclectic coffees. So there's a coffee company called Bones Coffee. I get it online.
Yes,
and they do a lot of like flavored stuff. So I have like a dark chocolate flavored coffee. Yeah, I know you say this.
Why don't you? I'm sorry.
They've got one.
Why don't you go to the grocery store and buy a can of flavored whipped cream?
Because I don't do that.
Just put it right on top of the
they've
cigar.
They've got one and make my absolute favorite.
Complete.
And you could be mad all you want at it. It's called S'morey Time.
Oh my god!
And it tastes just like s'mores.
It's just.
And with a cup of coffee, with that cup of coffee, with a good cigar, is great. But now, like, I love single origins, like Sumatras. I like all different types of Colombian coffees.
So when you were first saying you like eclectic coffee, because in my head, because I really do nerd out about coffee, and I started thinking of all these like crazy weird stuff, and then Michael says like, I like caramel drizzle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh.
But see, like I drink my coffee black, so I don't put sweeteners. I don't put nothing
sucks.
In it.
I think it sucks.
I don't put anything in my coffee. I drink all my coffees black. So
I think part of the thing with coffee is that the flavor profiles for really great coffees are incredibly subtle.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does not take a whole lot, of anything. So, I mean, even adulterating it with flavoring? Definitely your caramel, whatever. But I mean, even putting milk into, can really alter the flavor profile. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about sugars or flavorings,
Now, I will say though, if with the coffee aspect, if you retrohale your cigar, because I'm with you on that, where the notes are so subtle, and that's what I'm looking for is those notes. But if
that's a trademark word.
But for me, that retrohale, like that.
New word,
where you push the smoke out your nose, you're getting it through that nasal scent, that right there is where so much of those same kind of notes live. And so to me, keeping the coffee on my tongue palate and then the smoke going through my nose palate is the perfect combo for me.
So let me ask you guys this.
Kenya double A with like a Maduro.
Oh, that's great.
Happy place.
There we go.
Yeah, I love Kenyan coffee.
Yeah.
And it's black. I like black Kenyan. Like
I'll let you guys come over for a cupping.
Let's do it. Let's do a coffee.
I gotta mow through like 10 coffees this week.
Let's do it. You just let me know.
Well,
we're gonna take a quick break here in a second.
Well, let's talk. So I wanted to some final notes on the product line. Really great. I really hope you'll come back and, you know, take a look at Caldwell.
Absolutely.
I thought we really covered the product line, you know, quite well today. What did you think about the, you know, revisiting the whole product line?
I'm definitely into revisiting it all.
Yeah.
Definitely into revisiting all. That's all, bro. Oh, wow. Great stuff for today, guys. We're going to go ahead and wrap up the Smokes episode. I want to thank our co-host, good old boy Mike.
Thanks. I'm glad I'm here to cue our host.
Yeah, good old boy Justin.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good old boy Nate.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to be here.
And as always, guys, we love you and we're thankful that you guys join us.
Yeah, I look forward to your caramel macchiato that's going to be, you know, welded to one of these really great Caldwell sticks.
I'll go whip one up for you real quick and stick a cigar ahead, in it.
Stick it on Instagram. Yeah. You know, I want to see a picture
of that. I'll tweet it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little whipped cream.
Awesome. Well, you guys have a good day.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip Suds and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @SipSudsAndSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
Been a One Tan Hand production of Sip Suds and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the good old boys, will see y'all next time.